Good morning, everybody. From the home of the Langfords, this message comes. It's from Luke 6:43-49. First part says a tree and its fruit. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good that's stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil that is stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And the next paragraph is the wise and foolish builders. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. Great to be with you today and to worship the Lord together, to look at the word of God and to just feel a little community, which is great in this difficult time. Thank you, Mike, for your reading. As you see, we're going to look at Luke 6. Paul looked at Genesis 1 last week, and we're looking at the word of God spoken. I want to ask a couple of questions first. What belief structure are you living under? And who are you rooted in? It may, of course, be an easy question for some to answer, but there are many understandings of faith. So it's important to be confident of who we're rooted in that sustains us spiritually and in all circumstances. As I write, we have deep snow, making it difficult to move around and do the things we require. Fair illustration of life, really, when problems arise, who do we put our trust in? As Christians, we can have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, who as God's Son gave us a legacy of faith. Let's investigate a little today and see what the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples and us, is telling them. His expectations on how they were to live as Christians. And I'm going to begin by looking at a few verses, segments of the chapter, to give us a sense of what Jesus conveyed and, quite frankly, the way he expects us to act. Excuse me. It is a radical approach, as everything about the Lord is, advocating unconditional love. He tells his disciples to love and to bless those who are odious to you. Do good things for those that mistreat you and love your neighbour as yourself. And be kind to those who walk over or abuse you, and give to everyone who asks, and whoever takes what is yours, do not demand it back. That's my interpretation of the chapter. As I said, radical. Although we might say nothing very difficult about that. Well, possibly there is. In actual fact, I think for most of us, it's a tussle on a daily basis to live as the Lord wants, as I know it is for me. To show that unconditional love that he desires. His requirements are simple, and to walk his way, adopt love, holiness as a standard for our lives generally, in business, at home, wherever we are. The trouble is, it is easy to spout Christian doctrine or even point the finger at someone else. But living it ourselves can prove taxing, especially, maybe, in our present circumstances when we're required to deal with many issues all around us. Years ago, you know, I thought that once I became older, whatever that means, I would be able to live the way that Christ wanted, Christ taught. Very misguided. 2 weeks ago, I was reversing my car into a parking bay, the only one available. Busy car park, and as I manoeuvred the car into position and reversed, a little white car shot behind me and went into the parking bay, and I was left without a parking spot. I was put out, sat for a minute ruminating, remembering I was speaking on Luke 6, a laughable object lesson. Trivial, really? Every day brings us unexpected lessons, and I think that many of us on a Monday morning will consider that the teaching in Luke 6 often goes out the window and we do things our way, which is interesting because many of us have a driving license and we wouldn't dream of doing what we like on the roads just because we didn't like one of the rules. This chapter encourages us to live as Christ directs, to make choices and humbly accept his will. We could say it's like the Lord's charter or canon for our lives. And then verse 40 is interesting. It stands out a little because it states a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he is fully trained, will become like his teacher. That's Christ's desire for us, you and me. The nub of the chapter is to yield our will to the Lord, to follow him. Yes, it's a sacrifice. Some may call it a life of pursuing a life of obedient holiness achieved through love. Loving him more than ourselves, our ambitions, or family. That brings us in line with his will. This really was the way we came to faith, if you remember, as the Lord challenged us, regenerated us, taking away our old heart and putting his spirit within us. But it must continue, allowing him to transform us daily. Of course, we could just jog along in life, and the Lord Jesus will never force us into doing anything. But his desire is that we mature, grow in grace, and live agape love, love that changes us, the Greek word in the New Testament for God's love. And then if we look at John, 1 John 3:16, very interesting, by this we know love, that he, the Lord Jesus, laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Quite a statement, don't you think, for all of us to digest? While it is obvious that progressing in that to that level of love requires a lot of maturity individually and as a church, which, as the passage we're looking at confers, to eventually become trees of righteousness, a body working for the Lord, his expectation for us. Nothing self-centered or independent about that, his ambassadors to the world. Well, it doesn't happen overnight. Maturity takes time and effort, which is why learning to seek God in our own prayer time promotes spiritual growth. And our relationship therefore develops, whispering to God in praise and worship. This is where the change happens. As we are transformed by the Holy Spirit and God's seed of faith grows in us. The illustration of a tree is the heart of a Christian. The verse says, there's no good tree which produces bad fruit. Nor, on the other hand, a bad tree, which produces good fruit. And each tree is known by its fruit. This is where agape love must work through us, softening our hearts, and where fruit will be visible in our lives. You know the fruit: kindness, peace, joy, faithfulness. Just as Ephesians 2 says, we are created for good works. Might be useful here to consider the question I asked in the beginning. What are we rooted in? Or how deep are we truly rooted in the Lord? You see, we need to have fruit. Fruit trees, of course, can have an abundance of foliage but no fruit, which is why the question deserves some thought. Taking on board, there's always going to be a battle for our minds that affects our root system. Especially if we pursue our own schemes with roots entwined in projects that are not anointed by God. Sadly, nominal Christianity has been adopted universally, which is why Luke 6 is helpful. Because it is easy to look and sound right, but our growth spiritually is stunted. A scripture in Proverbs 4:23 reminds us that guarding our hearts and our minds is essential, because opposition affects all of us at times. Our opposer doesn't make any exceptions. In all of this, the enemy is scheming, subtle and busy in the world and around the body of Christ. Ephesians 3 verse 17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. That's where we need to be. And that's where we develop wisdom and maturity, which is so necessary for us as Christians. And we need each other, and we need the giftings we have to grow and develop in us. Of course, our ministry and our walk is a distinct balance, because we do know rotten fruit will make everything rotten. Therefore, discernment, forgiveness and love are to be in abundance. Then we can weigh up circumstances together as mature people of God. Of course, gardeners teach us a great deal about growing fruit. Peach trees are pruned right back to get good fruit, and at times weeds planted around them, so the nutrients enhance growth. Fig trees have a tiny fly that goes inside, dies and produces fruit, similar to how the Holy Spirit ministers to you and me in secret. Without a doubt, trials and testing will come and can be painful, difficult to manage. But accepting that we have an enemy who wants to confront and paralyze us into being inactive is part of understanding our lives as Christians and must not stop us bearing fruit. Which is why, individually and as a church, we need each other to bear that fruit. Because the church has always gone through testing and will do so in the future. The book of James says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Of course, none of us want trials. We would rather live in the sunshine, but that would dry everything up. Therefore, we need to urge each one of us as a church family to develop and mature in the giftings that we have, knowing that the Lord walks with us through testing situations. But you know, I have to say a word to all of us. Unless our roots are deep, we will fall. And especially when those trials attack our faith. Today, we are facing regular difficulties, crises often that can be tremendous. This is not sensationalism. It is solid fact. The Bible speaks about woes coming, so we must be prepared. No longer trifle with our faith. This is a time for preparation, a time to go deeper with God to ensure that we are rooted in faith and nothing else, so that we build a house that can withstand whatever storm comes against it. This is not a word just for the older generation. I want to bring an encouragement to the young people in this season. We need them. They are the future church. They need to recognize their potential and the trust that God puts upon them. And we must encourage, guide, and teach them to grow and mature, because these are the next prophets, evangelists, and teachers in the future who need to be equipped and ready to go however God wants to use them. As I draw to a close, let us be encouraged at the might and the power of our God and his saving grace, and get on with being his people, bearing fruit, declaring his love to a world where we may be the only Bible people will ever know. And today, whoever you are listening to the service, let me encourage you that faith in the Lord is an amazing journey of joy. And if you want to know more about the Christian faith, get in touch. And for those sitting at home, possibly anxious or afraid, lonely, wondering about a lot of things, I want to encourage you that God loves, hears, and is with you. Do call if you need help. We're here for each other. 2021 is a year that has brought its own complications, and no doubt we will find many more to come. Years ago, our nation also faced tremendous challenges as the Battle of Britain raged over the skies. I'm sure you've heard this before. And a small select team of people prepared, listened to the voice of their commander, and got on with doing all they'd been trained to do, and saved the nation. They were trained up, fully prepared, and had ensured that as individuals and as a group, they were ready for the task. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we ready for the task? Are we bearing fruit? The last verse I want to conclude with is verse 46. It seems to be representative of the whole chapter, which we need to contemplate upon, because we don't want to find it difficult to answer the question when we meet with the Lord, which we will do one day. Why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? As we continue throughout the year, let us encourage each other and reflect on this, and allow his will to be done in our lives, his way always. Amen.